Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Monday, March 8th, and oh my god, Selection Sunday is getting close. Wesley, how many days we got?
We got 6 days.
6 days, maybe five, depending on the time you're listening to this, because we're actually recording this Monday evening.
Yep.
But yeah, this weekend, tickets were punched.
Yep.
Bubble teams were maybe, you know,
Solidified or
maybe getting on the wrong side of the bubble. Yeah. So many important games to recap. But before we do that, Alex, would you like to once again shout out our bracket challenge that we will be doing come March Madness?
Yeah, so we're going to have a little Made in March bracket challenge hosted by ESPN, and this will be a chance for you guys to put your bracket up against ours and see how well you guys do. And just a note, we will have a little prize money for whoever wins the bracket challenge, so we'll get in contact with whoever the winner is, and we'll hit them up with some cash.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's rare that anybody's going to beat our brackets, but let's say it does happen. You know, we got a little cash prize waiting for you guys. Mm-hmm. And for more information on that, make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Made in March Podcast. And should we get right into the games to recap? Because I know there's a lot.
There's a lot to recap. So we kind of left off mid-Wednesday, March 3rd. So we'll kind of recap the games from later in that night. There were some very important games that night that kind of showed us some true colors of some teams. So we'll start off with some Big East action. The Villanova Wildcats, they defeat the Creighton Blue Jays 72-60.
Yeah,
I think we all called this game, I believe. We all picked Villanova.
Yeah, we all did pick Nova.
I think we all picked Villanova. But, I don't know. Villanova, the story from this game is not the win for Villanova. It's Colin Gillespie of
He went down with a knee injury.
Yes.
And at the time, like when it happened, you could tell it was like, this looked pretty serious. And the next day it was confirmed, torn MCL, obviously done for the year.
Yes.
But you really got a feel for the kid because at this point in the year, that can affect his, you know, basketball career in general, to be honest.
Knee injuries are, for any sport, it's kind of like a pivotal, life-changing, I guess, game-changing injury. So.
But as far as Villanova as a team this year is concerned, we got to address it. I mean, Alex mentioned last episode, I believe, Villanova as a team is not that deep.
And this kills them because this is either their best or second best player.
I would say
he's definitely their leader.
I would say he's probably their most important player.
Mm.
It's a big hit for Villanova.
And then who was the other guard that also got hurt recently too?
In the past
couple days,
their two guard Justin Moore also left with an injury. I'm not sure exactly what his injury is or his status for the Big East tournament or the Big Dance, but we shall see, because if they lose him as well, then they literally have no backcourt.
Yeah.
And then that's a major issue, because they're not a pretty big issue to begin with.
Yeah.
And they have nothing else to go
So, you know,
off. It's
kudos to Nova for beating Creighton, but I think that they would have rather taken a loss than stayed healthy.
Yeah,
if they could have it either way.
Yeah.
But moving into some more Big Ten play, Northwestern picks up a big win for them, but a bad loss for Maryland. 60-55, Northwestern beats Maryland.
Charlie, this was your team.
Yep. Last episode, our little special segment was, what's an unranked team that you think can make a deep run in March Madness? And I went with Maryland. I really liked the way they were playing.
And
I think they had won four out of their last five. They were looking good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what this is? This is Mark Turgeon seeking his revenge on me. For years and years of slander.
He heard it.
For years. I have slandered Mark Turgeon as not being a good
feelings.
Coach.
He knew your true feelings.
He knew my true feelings. And, you know, this year I'm finally starting to come around on Maryland. I'm like, Maryland's my underdog team this year. Like, let's go Maryland. Go Terps.
Yeah.
And then Mark Turgeon's like, you know, he doesn't forget. He needed his revenge, and he made me pay by making Maryland lose to Northwestern.
Bad loss.
There's no way around it. That's a bad loss.
That's a bad loss, and especially at this time of the year, that's the last kind of like caliber team you want to be losing to.
Yeah.
It's just a big momentum killer, honestly, for Maryland.
Exactly. That's the real thing.
Huge momentum killer.
Because they were rolling.
They were rolling before, and this bad loss only snowballed. We'll talk about it a little bit later,
but it's not like Maryland had a quick turnaround and started winning again.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but that wraps up the games from Wednesday. Moving into Thursday, I just have to mention this because Richmond was ranked at one time in this season, and they got bounced in the second round of the A-10 tournament to Duquesne.
What a disappointing season for Richmond.
Yeah.
I mean, were they? They? I don't know if they were ranked preseason.
I think they were.
I don't think they were. I think
once they beat Kentucky,
maybe St. Louis
was.
Yeah, but they were not ranked in the beginning of the season. But like, they had high hopes.
They were ranked 19th in the country at one time.
I mean, they got Grant Gold, and they got a ton of guys coming back, and they were not bad last year. And This year they didn't put it together.
Disappointed.
At all. They didn't do anything. Disappointment.
Yeah, but this second round of the A-10 happened on Thursday. We'll mention some more A-10 action kind of down the line here. But Michigan, at home, whoops up on Michigan State 69-50. I mean, I think we all predicted this to kind of happen. I don't know if me and Alex picked Michigan to cover in this one. I think we actually might have picked Michigan State to
what
cover.
What was the line in that game?
I think
game?
The line was...
I think it was around 11 or 12.
11 or 12. It might have shifted. It was... No, it was... It was 11.5, yeah. 11.5 Michigan. Okay. Michigan obviously covered in this. But they looked good in this game.
You want to know why they covered? Because Michigan State did not make a single three the entire game.
9 from 3. That'll do it.
That's not a recipe for
that'll
W's.
That'll do it, yeah. Although Michigan State's... You do have to say, though, they're not a three-point heavy team.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're more of a rack attack team. But
when you don't make one, it's normally not a good
tough
sign.
Tough to win.
Yeah, tough to win.
Tough to win. Moving on to some more Big 12 play. Arguably the game of the night. Baylor defeats Oklahoma State 81-70, kind of halting the Okie State hot stretch, as you would say, I guess, against top 25 teams. I think we all called this one. No, Alex, never mind. Alex did pick
Alex
Okie
picked
State
his Cowboys.
On the money line here. But it was a bold pick. But
it was a low risk.
It was
sort
a low
of pick.
Risk. That's fair you because know? They were. I think Baylor was 11 to 12 point favorites in this game, something
See,
like that.
When we recorded, Baylor was an 11.5 point
favorite.
The line finished at 10.5.
So at the time of our recording, we all picked Okie State to cover, and they
and
did.
We all were correct. So hopefully, if you guys
got the bets
if you guys
early,
listened
got
right
them
after
early.
You listened, you would have gotten this one right. If you were a bit late. We apologize. Might have missed out. But, yeah, Cade played great.
Cade played phenomenal
but
in this game.
All three guards from Baylor were just better.
Yep.
And additionally, Matt Mayer off the bench with 19.
Yeah, he's been hot.
I'm telling you, if Baylor can find a way to just give Matt Mayer that spark every game, yeah. He is such a nice piece to have off the bench. Because he really is a guy that needs to get in his rhythm. He needs to find his flow every game.
Yeah.
But when he does, he's such a valuable bench piece.
Yeah, and they kind of need him to be more consistent because Adam Flagler, I feel like as of recent, has not been like, in the beginning of the season, he was like a spark plug.
Mm-hmm.
He was a three-point monster. And I feel like Matt Mayer has kind of been that more consistent bench piece for them,
yeah.
Kind of their sixth man. Flagler was kind of the sixth man at the beginning of the year, but this team is very deep. And if Flagler gets hot and Mayer stays how he's been playing recently,
yeah,
it's a very, very, very deep team. Some more Big 12 play. I just have to mention this. West Virginia and Texas Tech both pick up wins against TCU and Iowa State, as I hope they would.
Yeah, as we'd hope.
As we would hope. Iowa defeats Nebraska 102-64. Big win there. Kind of showing that Nebraska maybe is not as good as they were against Rutgers. Maybe
Iowa's just a top 5 team in the nation. That's the narrative that you
maybe.
Can spin.
You can go,
yeah,
either, you can go
but
either way.
Nebraska ball, still no bueno.
No good. Texas on the road defeats Oklahoma. Oklahoma's kind of been skating recently.
I was just about to say that.
And they're 25th in the country right now.
Yeah,
in
the new AP poll, new Oklahoma AP poll. Did slide in at 25, so barely ranked. They've lost 4 straight.
Two all at the top 25 teams.
One of them was Kansas State.
One of them was Kansas State. I do.
The last three were the top 25 teams, so you can look at it that way. Glass half full if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think it's time to panic on Oklahoma? Lost 4 straight, haven't looked as great lately. Thoughts?
I think it's time to panic, yes.
You do?
I do. I think that they haven't shown enough fight, or like they haven't been able to win the close games. And that's very scary because March is all close games.
Yeah.
If you can't win the close games, you ain't winning. There's not many blowouts other than the first round, really. I don't think they have enough offensive consistency, I guess. I don't know. I just don't see it behind Austin Reeves and Brady Manick at all.
I'm concerned. I wouldn't say I'm panicking. I think their offense is becoming a bit too reliant on Austin Reeves. I think Harmon needs to get going, and also Gibson's a really good three-point shooter. I think he needs to look for more shots.
Mm-hmm.
I think Austin Reeves is kind of like taking the role where he needs to just like enter takeover when I don't really think he has to. I think he's his best when he's looking... Not necessarily pass first, but looking for passes more often than he is currently.
Looking for better shots than he's taking right now, maybe you can say.
Yes. Everything you just said there, Alex, is almost exactly what I was about to say. I'm obviously concerned when a team loses 4 straight. You'd be lying if you're saying you're not concerned.
Especially at this time of the year.
I'm not panicking. I'm not jumping off Oklahoma because a few weeks back, I was really high on Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I still think as long as Brady Manick keeps his confidence up, and what exactly you said, Austin Reeves is becoming a little bit too ball-centric and, like, thinking he has to, you know, put the whole team on his back when I think that they have enough good surrounding pieces where that's not really necessary. So, you know, I would obviously, going into the Big Dance, I would like to see Oklahoma put it together a little bit more, get a win or two in the Big 12 tournament and see them actually play well as a team. But, yeah, losing four straight is not a good look.
No. I mean, they have been against some pretty good teams. Texas is obviously a good team. Andrew Jones and Jericho Sims really stepped up in this one. But
Jericho Sims has been playing. He's kind of been carrying Texas more or less recently.
Yeah.
Quite very efficient recently. But those are not, they're not bad losses, you can say, I guess. But it's just scary because you'd like to see Oklahoma pick up one of those at least.
Definitely.
And kind of get that confidence booster. And
at a minimum, pick up that one against K-State a few, maybe a week or so back.
That was, yeah, that's a bad loss. And that kind of contributes to my my panic statement, I guess. Yeah, yeah. Is why I'm kind of panicking.
It's a valid reason to panic, I won't lie.
And then Colorado defeats Arizona State at the end of the night. They did not. We picked Arizona State, I think, to cover in this game. Obviously, I don't think
Colorado covered.
Colorado covered. Yeah. They won by 14, I believe.
Telling you, dude, it's that altitude. Colorado at home is a dangerous team.
They are a dangerous team, but I just didn't think they had the dog in them to blow them up. They're not a blow-up team, but
no.
That pretty much wraps up the games from Thursday. Then, oh, Alex, you have
one more game more to note. Mention? Kansas squeaks out a win against UTEP.
That was
UTEP
that night.
Was up like 15, 12 maybe with like
10 or 12 minutes left.
And Kansas rallied. But Kansas had been hot as of late, so this was kind of a scare, but I guess credit to them for staying in the game and coming back and taking out a close one.
Kansas manhandles Baylor, and then a week later they have to grind to beat UTEP. You know, college basketball is a weird sport.
It's a weird sport, but I don't know how to – it's tough to look at those games to be like, you like the grit that they came back down 15 with 10 minutes left or that it was that close. It's kind of – you can look at it either way.
Dude, it's never a good sign because
I don't know.
First round March.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It has like the potential to be a possible upset when you see games like this.
Yeah, that's
especially
true.
UTEP, who's not a tournament team whatsoever. It's not like they're not a good mid-major at all.
Nope. So that's true. It's a little scary to see, but that wraps up the games from Thursday. Then moving into Friday, there were really no big games, no Power 5 big games, obviously, today on this Friday. There were a lot of, like, quarterfinal, semifinal games of, like, the A-10, MVC had its quarterfinal games, too. All the expected teams, I guess, advanced, like Loyola, the Bonnies, St. Louis. ASUN had its semifinal, too, with Liberty. Mm-hmm. We expected to win that conference, obviously. VCU also.
Just sort of setting it up for Saturday when there were quite a few tickets punched into March Madness.
Yep, there were in a lot of resume-boosting games, you would say. So we'll kind of move into Saturday now and start off with some ACC action. Notre Dame, at home, defeats Florida State 83-73, kind of sending Florida State into that skid now because they lost to North Carolina and they lost to Notre Dame.
Dude, I'm telling you, FSU's not that good of a team.
Alex, you've been on that for a while. Would you like to kind of like explain why?
I don't know. Scotty Barnes did enter takeover mode in this game I wanted him to. 7 for 10, 17 points. I just don't know. I'm not sure that they have enough three-point shooters on their team
really
to get it done
many.
In March.
Yeah, they
Here's
don't.
The issue is that MJ Walker is 2 of 10 from 3. He's normally
And he's probably their best shooter.
He's 100% their best shooter. He had an off night. And when he has off nights and he takes 10 threes, they're going to lose most games. Because he's really the only guy that's taking threes. I'd say their best players, though, are Raekwon Gray and Scotty Barnes, and they need to shoot the ball more because they're both very efficient when they're attacking the rim.
Yes.
And Florida State's a rim attack team. Like, they're not a three-point shooting team, I guess. I would never want them to take more than probably 20 threes in a game. And they shot 25% from three this game, and that's going to kill them, especially if their best shooter, MJ Walker, is 2 of 10.
And FSU's generally a good defensive team, allowing 83 points to a subpar Notre Dame team.
And
also
Notre Dame pretty much only has one good player, Prentice Hubb. And he dropped 22, which is like, okay, like, nice game. But, like, if you would have told me that they would have scored 83 and beat FSU by 10, I would have guessed that he had 40.
But also it needs to be mentioned that, obviously, you look at, like, the stat line of this, and you're like, Prentice Hubb was 3 of 10 from 3. But he made those three in, like, the first 8 to 10 minutes of the game. I think Notre Dame had, like, six or seven made threes in the first, I don't know, 10 or 11 minutes of this game. They were up 20-something in the first half. So it was kind of a grind for Florida State to get back into it. And Florida State, you have to mention, they're not a trailing team.
No, yeah, they can front run.
They can front run
because
their
shooting is maybe subpar.
It's really tough for them
to
get back into games quickly. At least it's kind of a long-term thing because they have to play good defense and get easy buckets, but still, Bad loss, I would say, for Florida State.
What, so since today's Monday, what is Florida State in the new top 25 rankings?
What are they sliding in? I don't know off the top of my head. I can take a...
FSU is down to 15, which 15. I think is fair. They dropped four spots for that
after
loss.
After a loss, yeah.
It's fair, yeah.
Do you know how... I don't know how many they dropped after the UNC loss. Probably not that many. I know, like...
I think they were, like, 8 maybe in the UNC loss, maybe 9.
Yeah,
I don't know,
like,
but they're, like, slowly dropping.
Something to keep an eye on, I guess, yeah. But I don't think it's time to panic yet on that team, especially. Not yet. But UConn picks up a win against Georgetown, 98-82, kind of showing that UConn... firepower that they can bring on any given night.
With James, with a healthy James Book.
21 points, 5 of 9 from 3.
I love UConn.
UConn's, they're fun to watch. They're really fun to watch. They're definitely a team to watch out for. Alex obviously mentioned them last podcast.
In the segment of unranked teams that could make a run.
Yep.
And that pick's looking better and better and better.
It's looking incredible right now.
Unlike my Maryland pick.
Not yet. That's true. Fair point. Rutgers on the road gets an overtime win against Minnesota, 77-70.
At the barn.
At the barn.
Add that in. Minnesota only had 3 losses at the barn prior to this game.
Correct. I think if Rutgers needed this game so bad.
So bad. I think Rutgers winning that game, I think that solidifies them in March Madness. I think so.
Yes,
I think that was a ticket-punching win. But Jacob Young for Rutgers, what a dog. Can you pull up his stat line for me real quick?
Yes, he did. He had 23 points. 7 assists, 5 rebounds.
And he's that player that every team wants. Just a hustler out there.
Plug.
Just constant hustle.
Yep.
Geo Baker, he had a dozen. Not a Baker's dozen, as we sometimes like to say.
Yeah. Did not play that well, though.
Well, that's the thing. He wasn't that efficient.
Not efficient.
But I will say, Geo Baker had some dimes that, like, Montez Mathis and...
Ron Harper Jr.
Ron Harper Jr. were just like... It's like their head was in the clouds and they just weren't looking for the ball. And it would just, like, bounce off their body into, like, out of bounds. So, I mean, obviously I'll go to bat for Geo Baker any day of the week, twice on Sundays. But I think that he had a better game than the stat line shows that.
He also did a pretty good job, or a really good job defensively, him and Jacob Young stopping Marcus Carr.
Once again.
They clamped him up a little
bit. Geo Baker's an underrated defender. I've said this for years.
I don't know. There's something about this Rutgers team to me. They're just, like... I don't think they're good whatsoever.
Well, I mean, yeah, that doesn't put you in the minority whatsoever. Considering
they are like
considering they're going to be like a 10 seed in March Madness.
Well, I know you were high on them early in the season.
Yeah,
high is putting it lightly. Some would say.
I actually went back
Sources
and listened. I went back and listened
to the Illinois one. Where
yes,
you went berserk.
I ranted for 10 minutes about Rutgers. It
Here
was if you want to go back and look up like Rutgers, our segment was like, or our episode was like Rutgers. Pulls it off against Illinois.
It was
like
early December or something like that.
No, it was really, I think it was earlier than that.
End of November, maybe. But
maybe
boy.
It was. That was a funny episode. Listening back to it.
Yes, it's very funny.
But hey,
you know what?
Captain always goes down with the ship. If Rutgers actually does stink, I'll still be picking them.
Bang! That's a kind of honorable move. Honorable move. Go down with the ship.
I also still think that they can win a game or two in March Madness. Let's not make no mistake about it. All right.
That's a personal belief, kind of a personal opinion.
We shall see.
We shall see. Nice. Some more Big 12 action. Okie State, another phenomenal win. 85-80 on the road against West Virginia. A very, very, very good West Virginia team.
And let's add in this fact.
Cade Cunningham.
They did it without
game.
Big 12 player of the year, Cade Cunningham.
And
crazy.
This is scary for Okie State, and here's why. It's kind of like
are they peaking too early?
No, I would not say that. I think they're just beginning to peak, to be
Wait,
honest.
Did I just say this is why it's scary?
Yes.
It's scary good, in a good way.
Whoa, well, what a wild turn of events.
Reverse.
He put that Uno reverse card down on the table, and he said no.
Wait a minute.
It's kind of like what happened with Illinois. You know, Io goes out, Curbelo comes in, plays amazing. And now look at Illinois, Io back. They just whooped up on Ohio State. Same thing with Okie State. Cade goes out, there's a chance for Avery Anderson to step up. He drops 31.
Oh, he absolutely stepped up to the plate and knocked it out of the park.
I think he shot like 80-something percent from the field.
Yeah,
he was efficient as all get out.
So now these guys are building their confidence, and it's quite scary.
Yeah. West Virginia, though, they've suffered 2 recent losses. They're to 2 good teams. I still love this West Virginia team.
Yeah.
Here's my only problem. We've been hyping up Sean McNeil a lot lately for his 3-point shooting acumen.
Yes.
Because he's very good.
Yes.
However,
he just had a bad game.
That game, he went 3-for-13 from the field. Do I want Sean McNeil shooting 13 shots a game? Not really.
But we did mention how we want Sean McNeil to be that 7 to 8 range shots taken.
We want like a Christian Brown sort of type of player.
Yes, we want all
the good shots. And I think McNeil maybe forced it a little that game.
I think he was feeling it after that game against Baylor when he was knocking down some crazy shots.
His past few games have been pretty good, yeah.
Past few games, true. Yeah, fair point. But 13 shots is too much for Sean McNeil.
I think so. You know, you can only put too much on that kid's plate.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but this is the main flaw with West Virginia is it's their defense in general. I mean, they allowed 85 points.
Which is crazy
points.
To say.
Considering it's a Bob Huggins coach team.
Yes, that's fair. It's crazy to say, but I do agree with that. It's weird how the tides have turned and they're an offensive powerhouse and a defensively lacking team.
Yeah.
Weird. Alabama picks up a road win against Georgia, 89-79. Purdue, at home, defeats Indiana 67-58, kind of keeping that Purdue train rolling here. I think Purdue is, what, 21, 20th?
I think they're 20th.
Right, something like that, yeah. Mid
slowly on the rise.
Slowly on the rise.
Zach Edey. Again, 20 points, 9 boards, 8 of 10 from the floor.
He's incredibly efficient. He's a 7'4", 5", maybe, big man for Purdue, freshman.
And they're just starting to get him involved, really.
And this is, like, the first time this season they're, like, actually using him for more than, like, 5-8 minutes, like before he'd just be like a stand in the paint kind of tackle fault. But he's got really good footwork, his positioning is incredible, and he's actually quite agile for a 7'4" dude.
Sneaky agile.
He's from IMG Academy, which is like the big whatever high school academy in Florida. But
yeah, they taught him well there.
Yeah, whatever mid-major team's gonna have to play Purdue in the first round.
I feel bad
having to go against Travion and Zach Edey. Like,
yeah. You better have some big guys down.
They're
low.
Probably gonna get out rebounded by like 25 in that game.
Yeah.
Whatever mid-major team.
They're gonna need to shoot like 60% from three.
Travion's been taking a major backseat recently though. Like major. Like he's not playing as much. I mean, he's scoring like 8 points a game. Obviously he's still doing his damage on the glass.
Because while him and Zach Edey have two very different physiques,
mm-hmm.
they both kind of like to bust it down low.
Yes.
So
Painter's a great coach, you know? He's kind of riding the hot hand right now.
Exactly. He's playing the hot hand. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Doesn't play favorites.
That's fair. And that's a good thing. Providence at home defeating Villanova 54-52, kind of showing that first post-Colin Gillespie injury weakness. It's a bad loss for Nova.
Yeah, I mean, Nova got down huge early. They almost pulled an insane comeback. But yeah, that was the other injury we mentioned earlier. Guard Justin Moore left the game through the first half. So,
Alex, I got to ask you a question about this game. So when Nova lost to Providence in our little podcast group chat, I said, me and Wesley both agree. We said, this is what happens when Nova doesn't have Colin Gillespie. They're just not nearly as good of a team. And you were like, no. Or you said something along the lines of, that's not true. I don't know how you can really explain that when they lose to a Providence team who is not likely making the field of 68.
Well, obviously it's a huge loss losing your best player, but I still think Nova's capable of winning a game or two in March.
A game or two, sure. That's not necessarily the most hot take. But I don't know. I feel like that game against if you lose to Providence, not a good sign.
Not a good sign, yeah. Especially this late in the season. I mean, obviously, they're probably trying to readjust to like life without their leader, but
yeah, we'll see how it goes for them in the Big East tournament.
I think that's where
that will be a real teller.
Real telling sign. I think if they play really bad, first round exit could be in their future. But obviously, we shall see, as the saying goes. LSU picks up a road win against Missouri. I think that's a good win for LSU, although Missouri's been pretty stinky recently.
Yeah, both those teams sort of.
Yeah, those are just kind of questionable teams, you could say. Illinois on the road picks up a big win against Ohio State, 73-68. Iowa's back for this game. And
he was rather efficient, I believe 7 of 10 from the field.
Correct, 19 points.
And he got it done when it needed to get done towards the end of the game.
So did Andre Curbelo for Illinois, 19 points off the bench. 6 assists, 5 rebounds, just a full stat sheet for him there. He's, after that Iowa injury, where he kind of, I think he got his confidence up big time during that when he had a lot of playing time, and that's going to really bode well for Illinois.
Illinois is the best team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they're starting to look like one of the hottest teams in the nation right now, and I think it's all about locked and loaded that they're going to get a one seed.
I think so as well. Do you think there's going to be 2 Big Tens on the one line? Obviously, I think we're going to everyone's going to have Gonzaga on the one line, clearly.
Yes, and I think Baylor.
Baylor's kind of a lock for
and
the
I
one
think
line.
Illinois is a lock.
Illinois and Michigan?
Sounds about right
to me. Probably.
As of right now.
As of right now. let's say Iowa goes on a run and
wins the Big Ten tournament.
Maybe Iowa sneaks in instead of Michigan. Although I don't really know how you could take out like a 3-loss Michigan team.
We'll see. That's what's tough is because like Iowa would have like 3 or 4 more losses. I don't know. It's really tough. We'll see what the voters do though. I mean, you never know. You never know. Virginia picks up a road win against Louisville, 68-58.
Virginia actually looked good in this game. Hate to say it for you, Wes. I know you hate Virginia like with every fiber in your body. They shut down Carleek Jones.
They did.
Who's a player that's, you know, sometimes kind of hard to shut down because even when he's not making shots, he does everything else. But they shut him down pretty well that game.
They did, yep. And I think, is Louisville on the, are they on the...
They're on the bubble.
They're like on the right side of the bubble.
I don't know though. But
Louisville does not look. Louisville doesn't look that good out there. I looked at Joe Lunardi's projected bracket. I think they're like 8 or 9 seed.
I guess it's a fair spot for them. But then I don't know how you could have them in and then like a team like Syracuse on the first round.
Or a team like Georgia Tech, like Georgia Tech, barely in. Yeah,
barely in. That just doesn't make sense to me. We'll see how it kind of boils down after conference tournaments. And then just two quick games to mention here: Arkansas defeats Texas A&M. Creighton whoops up on Butler, kind of as expected for both those teams.
Arkansas is
8th in the country right now.
That's what I wanted to say.
They're 8th in the country.
I like Arkansas. I like the way they play, but are they 8th in the country good? Yes. Alex, what are your thoughts on that?
I know Luke would be all over that 8th in the country. Yeah. I believe at least.
Yeah, I don't know. They've hit a really hot stretch. I mean, they're playing great basketball right now. I just don't know if they're that talented enough to be 8th in the country.
That's what I'm saying. Like, obviously, they've got Moses Moody, a super talented freshman.
And Eric Musselman, a phenomenal coach.
Yes. But I don't know if we can ignore what they did in for the greater part of the middle of the season.
Yes.
They were still okay, but...
Arkansas is also not a very deep team whatsoever. They play a lot of small balls.
They're also not a big team.
Yeah, they play a lot of small balls. So if they get matched up with a big team, I don't really know how it would work. It kind of goes both ways because obviously they're going to run the court, but then they get pounded down low.
But
so.
It's Arkansas is one of those teams that's a very interesting case.
Yes.
That I can't wait to watch in March Madness because
you can see.
I could see them going on a Final Four run. Like,
I agree, but you could also see them getting matched up.
I could see them getting bounced by like a 14 seed. I could. There's a wide range of possibilities of what can happen to this Arkansas team.
And that's why it's going to be very interesting to see.
Super interesting.
But we'll just have to wait and see on that one. North Carolina at home against Duke. The rivalry normally lives up. This time, North Carolina dominated for all 40 minutes.
Yeah, you know,
there's no other way around it.
They say it never disappoints, but...
I mean, it didn't disappoint, but if you're North Carolina fan...
Sort of disappointed.
If you're a Duke fan, definitely disappointed. But North Carolina whoops up on them. Their whole team is getting involved. Chocolate Peanut Butter Love had 18 points. Didn't start in the game, but still had his 18 points off the bench, getting plenty of minutes. Do we see North Carolina probably making the tournament 16-9?
Absolutely.
North Carolina's in at this point.
I think they're
as far as I'm concerned.
I think that win just kind of proves it. 20-point win over a Duke.
Yeah.
No matter how bad of a Duke team.
And obviously they beat Florida State like a week earlier.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm. Great point to make. And then we have our first ticket punch, I believe, out of the OVC. Normally this is a Belmont-run conference.
It's a Belmont-Murray State sort of, you know, jiving for...
Yeah, mostly Belmont, though.
You're not wrong.
Of
you're
the last
wrong.
5 years, I think it's been Belmont, probably 4 of them. But Morehead State dominated Belmont in the OVC Championship.
Yeah.
Dominated.
And so they're the first team to officially punch their ticket into March Madness.
Correct.
Their name will be read off on Selection Sunday.
Yep.
What do we see them being? About a 14 seed, something like that?
Here's the issue. They're a spooky, spooky team. But their record in regular season play is going to really hurt them for their season. They're a 23-17 team. They have an NBA prospect in Johnny Broome, who's a forward.
He's insane. Yeah.
Who's a dog. He's a double-double machine. He's got a motor that does not quit. But their 23-7 record, I think for me, puts the limit as a 14 seed.
I don't know if it's the limit. I think it's probably the projection.
Yes.
But the Ohio Valley Conference, as far as mid-major conferences are concerned, is not the worst. Yes. It's not the worst. They got Austin Peay.
I agree.
They got Murray State.
If
like,
Belmont
they've got,
wins, they're an 11 or 12 seed.
Probably. But I agree with you, Alex. I think as a 14 seed, this is about as scary as they come.
I agree.
Maybe falling just short of that 2016 Stephen F. Austin team.
All right.
But
I digress.
Had to slip it in there.
But I wanted to touch on something on Morehead State. If you're a believer in, like, you know, mid-major teams that are, like, key to pulling off upsets. In 2011, they were a 13 seed, and they beat Louisville. And they gave that famous meme of, like, the Louisville mascot and Rick Pitino, both with, like, their head in their hands. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but...
I believe I have.
So they've been there, done that. If you want to buy into that narrative, I don't know, that's 9 years ago. That's 9 years ago. I don't know if I want to buy into that one, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, this team is a good, sneaky, good team.
And coming against a good Belmont team, they beat Belmont twice this season.
Once in the other season, and then this, obviously, but...
It's a team to look out for sure. I think
definitely a team to look out for. Moving on to some more Big East action. I think Marquette kind of sunk Xavier's tournament hopes here with a 66-59 win.
Some might say, but Lenardi still likes Xavier for some reason.
That's what drives me nuts, is that Lenardi, just like the clear and obvious things,
He's such a bum. Like Xavier, he was like, before that game, I vividly remember him saying, yeah, Xavier's, like, completely on the bubble. And then they lose to Marquette, who, no offense, Alex, not a very good team.
They stink.
And then I check it the next day, and it's Xavier, last four in. Then what's the point of having a quote-unquote bubble?
Then how is Syracuse first four out? Like, that doesn't make any sense. There are 15-8 teams.
You run Xavier's Syracuse against Xavier, I think that
Xavier would have a
problem on their hands. Yeah.
It's just kind of disappointing, I guess. I don't know. But obviously, Lenardi's not the selection committee, so
it's true.
He's just a projection, kind of a bum projector, but, you know, I digress.
What a great win for Marquette, though.
Yeah, like, great win for
Marquette. Yeah.
Marquette's been hot recently, and, you know,
they could make some noise in the Big East tournament. They got a nice draw in the Big East.
They could have a nice run in the Big East tournament, and that is because the Big East is quite weak, especially with the depleted Villanova team.
If Marquette fucks around and wins the Big East tournament, that would be such a cool story.
Let's go. That'd be like coming up like a submarine up from the depths of the ocean.
Just like,
here they come.
Food for thought. What seed would Marquette get if they won the Big East tournament 12. And got the auto bid?
12.
It's like Oregon. Remember when Oregon was the 12 seed and
they were better than like 500. I still think Marquette would be around a 12.
Marquette's like 500.
They are 500. They'd be at 12 just because they have two really good wins over Creighton and Wisconsin.
Beginning of the season, Marquette was like, wow, this team's pretty good.
Yeah.
Here we are. Here we sit. But that wraps up the games from Saturday. Moving into Sunday, wow, there were some fiery games.
And Sunday was a good day.
Starting off with some AAC action here. This was one of the best endings, arguably, of the year. Probably actually locked and loaded best ending of the year so far.
Easily.
And just gives you the vibe of just March Madness and just what it's all about. Houston, at home, defeats Memphis 67-64. This game kind of reminded me of the Nova North Carolina game where Marcus Page hit the double clutch shot that will never be remembered. No one will ever remember that shot. They're just going to remember the Villanova last second
Chris
three.
Jenkins.
The Chris Jenkins last second three. Because Boogie Ellis hit like a 27-28-foot three-pointer to tie the game with, what, 2 seconds left in the game? Something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think someone else took a three. The ball, like, just bounced around everywhere. It was like he was playing pinball, and it somehow found its way into Boogie Ellis's hands with about 3 seconds left, and he cashed a deep three to tie the game.
Deep three.
And there was, I think, 1.6 seconds left in the game.
Nothing. And Houston, let's set the scene here. Houston is inbounding under their basket. They have to go the full length of the court in 1.7 seconds to get up a shot. That's very tough.
Yes.
To get the ball to half court and get up a good shot. I think DeJon Giroux inbounding the ball.
They got it to Sasser.
Tremont Mark was the guy that shot the shot.
Oh, was it actually?
It was Tremont Mark, bench guard for Houston. Catches the ball midcourt, kind of weaves between two Memphis defenders, and throws up a prayer, banks it in from half court. 35-foot shot for the win.
It was an insane ending. And what was actually funny about that is we actually tweeted something out like, Boogie Ellis sends it into overtime. Because there was 1.6 seconds left inbounding under their own hoop. That's never going to happen.
Rarely.
Houston got it done. We stood corrected.
That was
that tweet aged like milk, but, you know, honestly, I'm happy.
Like 3 seconds.
I'm happy about it because that was an insane ending.
I'll trade that for that.
Huge game too, because Memphis had kind of crept their way onto bubble talks, and I mean, if they would have picked up this top 10 win on the road, that probably would have gotten them in.
I agree.
Or at least on the right side of the bubble pre-conference tournament. Yeah.
Where do you think they are now, bracketologist Alex?
I think probably like next four out, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably a good spot, I'd say, for them.
I don't want to see them in the tournament.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't like watching
Memphis basketball.
They're just kind of boring.
Yeah, they're just kind
of
there.
Even though they have like all these high-recruited athletes and, man, it's just... Penny Hardaway, just a terrible coach, in my opinion. Good at paying the players. But I digress. Another team punches their ticket to March here. Big South Championship, Winthrop. Winthrop is a 23-1 team that kind of rolled through the Big South. Defeats Campbell 80-53. And that's funny because that's the final. That's the final of the Big South, and they won by 27. That's the Big South kind of stinks. But Winthrop is still a 23-1 ticket.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, the Big South stinks, and I feel like I've slandered them all year.
Yes.
But Winthrop's 23-1, and they won the championship game by how many points?
27 points.
What seed are they getting?
Probably 12, 13.
I would have said 13, yeah.
14, so 13, possible 14.
It's kind of against like my DNA to pick a Big South team.
But Winthrop's been
really good. But if you're going to do it, this Winthrop team, who knows?
This might be the year if you're going to pick a Big South team. Yeah. I don't know if they – I don't think they have any impressive – I know they had a game with UNCG, UNC Greensboro, postponed or rescheduled due to COVID or something like that, but I don't think they have any
out-of-conference
good wins. I know – oh, no, they did beat UNCG. So, okay. I mean, that's one good out-of-conference win. I don't really think they had many scheduled. I think if they were smart, they would have scheduled a few.
Yeah.
A few good out-of-conference games. Doesn't have to be incredible, but just something to show off some competition.
They got their ticket punched.
Boom. We'll see where they land, I guess.
Yeah.
See what they draw in their matchup. Wisconsin on the road against Iowa loses 77-73. Just a classic Wisconsin game. Although we hate to blame the refs in this game, but there were three calls that should have probably been not called or called for Wisconsin in the last 30 seconds of this game. Obviously, you hate to say like the ref cost them the game, but it greatly altered the outcome of the final score here. But the bigger story is honestly Iowa losing Joe Wieskamp this game.
Yeah, he got injured.
Walking off in a boot. I actually do not know the status of his injury.
I do not personally. Either. I think that they've kept it
kind of
on the down low.
Yeah.
But if Wieskamp is out long term,
mm-hmm.
Iowa as a team, this almost goes without saying, takes a huge hit.
Huge hit. I don't think they have any chance to win the national championship without Joe Wieskamp.
No,
I agree.
Like none. Like they don't even. No one should be picking them to win it ever, without Wieskamp. He's kind of that glue that holds them all together, I guess. He's a consistent outside presence. He's
key for their offense, yeah.
Key for their offense, and arguably their defense, too. He's a long, kind of athletic guy, so they need him big time. And especially after losing Jack Nungy, they can't afford to lose another forward. Even if it's Joe Wieskamp, who's kind of a smaller, slighter build, they still cannot afford to lose anybody.
Yeah, but going back to the refs thing, I read somewhere that I forget what the ref's name was.
Bobrovsky, I can harp on this for 10 minutes. Bobrovsky, the ball-headed guy that called the last three fouls, is inherently against Wisconsin. And this is a known fact on Twitter.
This is not just because we are from... This is not just because we go to Wisconsin.
This is not just because we go to Wisconsin. This is a known fact for years that he is always against Wisconsin. And there's historical evidence of this. It's crazy. Bobrovsky is his name.
Do you want to know their record with him as an official?
Let's hear it.
2-8. With him, without him, 14-3.
This year?
Yep, this year.
Now that...
That well, speaks for itself,
that
really.
That speaks for itself. Numbers don't lie. Numbers do not lie, and that's... I don't know. Bo, you need to get reevaluated.
Something happened to this guy.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, someone who went to the University of Wisconsin, like, slept with his wife or something. I don't know what happened, but there's some deep-rooted problem that he has with us that... Yep. Just cannot be fixed, and he better not ref another Badger game again. I agree,
because it was bad. He called a foul on Demetric Trice, so I think it was Jordan Bohannon. Garza set a screen for Bohannon, tossed him the ball. Trice is behind Jordan Bohannon. Jordan Bohannon puts up a shot and then kind of like swings his arms around and then like flails. Jordan Bohannon's kind of a known flopper.
He's a known, like, yeah, he flails his arms kind of when he shoots.
Yeah, he's kind of floppy, I guess.
Like a fish.
Like a New York style flop. Shout out Dave Portnoy. But he just kind of flails his arms, and Trice got called for foul.
And Trice was just like standing there.
He was standing there. Now, Bohannon got three shots, and that fouled out Demetric Trice, the Badgers' go-to player in the clutch time of the game.
Yeah, it's like, I just hate ref ball, and this game turned into ref ball. I think the last 2 minutes were like half an hour.
Yep.
Like, they took forever.
Unbearable to watch, almost. Like, you can't ruin a game like that. You can't but call.
How many games have the Badgers lost in a row?
I think probably four now. Probably four of their last five, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
At least Micah Potter played well.
Micah Potter played very well. Micah Potter shot 4-6 from three, and the Badgers lost. What the hell is going on? The Badgers shot 38% from three. That's pretty good for them.
Yeah.
And they lost.
Also, one more thing to add. I'll make it quick. Iowa did retire Luka Garza's number
deserved
immediately after the game. Very well deserved.
Absolutely. Emotional moment for him, I guess. But... very well deserved. Another team punches their ticket, although they didn't have to win this game to punch their ticket. Liberty wins the ASUN 79-75, but they had their ticket punched before this game even started because North Alabama, the team they played against in the final, was their first year in D1, so they're transitioning to D1, so they are automatically won the game and they had their ticket punched, but they won the game anyway, 79-75.
Yeah,
Liberty's probably going to be on the 12 line, I assume.
Yeah, I would guess 12 as well. But I saw an interesting stat today, and it was, like, looking at the national champions over the past two decades and, like, things they had in common. So they looked at, like, three-point percentage, free throw percentage, and defensive efficiency. And there was one other I forget. But, like, they set a mark, and they're, like, all these national championships had that mark. So it's, like, a 37% or greater three-point percentage. There were five teams that had it this year, and the teams were Liberty, BYU, San Diego State, Virginia, and Michigan.
This year?
Yep, this year. Those five teams.
What?
Yeah.
That is surprising. I've read stats like that before, but they always have outliers. I don't know if the one specific one you read did, because there have been some crazy champions. Like, think about UConn in 2014 when they were a 7 seed. Mm-hmm. It's like every championship minus 2014 UConn because they were just like an anomaly.
Yeah.
But that's actually an interesting thing to note.
Crazy, though, to think about, like, Liberty. I don't know how they... I mean, they are. They play in the Wii Conference. ASUN is pretty...
Last time Liberty was in the Big Dance, they did pull off an upset in the first round, upsetting 5 seed in Mississippi State.
Who was their guy? Scotty Barnes.
Scotty James.
Played for Florida State.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just kind of went to it right
away. Scotty James. Luke was not
watch out for Liberty, though, because I think Liberty's a 5-loss team, something like that, 23-5. Very good team. Probably be on the 12 line, I would say. So watch them in the 12-5. But arguably the best mid-major conference, the MVC. The final game did not disappoint. Loyola Chicago, though, looks incredible. And they won 75-65 over Drake.
Punching their ticket officially,
although they would have, regardless, if they would have lost, they would have still gotten that large. Yes. But Drake, I don't know. They're extremely questionable on if they're going to pick up a at-large bid here.
Normally, I think that Drake would be a lock, actually, like, under normal circumstances. Yeah, yeah. However, when you look at Drake's out-of-conference schedule, I will spare you the time, it is not very good. They did not play anybody of note.
K-State, that's it.
Well, that's a noted D2 team.
No. We bumped them up.
Oh, yeah, we bumped them up.
Apologies.
But other than that, they didn't really play anyone.
I still
think Drake should get an at-large bid, though.
I agree with you.
Like, do you want to put in, like, Xavier, or do you want to put in Drake?
Exactly, and Drake beat Loyola one time in the regular season as well. They split 1-1. I don't know. I think they deserve to be in there.
Yeah, but as far as Loyola is concerned, this team is good. Krutwig is so fun to watch. Like, you know how there's talented players, like players that, like, they were just born with God-given talent, and then they're skilled players.
Yes.
Cameron Krutwig is one of the most skilled players.
Yes.
He just knows how to put the ball in the hoop, even given his body and his physique.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's a big dude.
Probably, I don't really know, but probably his athleticism. He just knows how to get it done. Uh-huh. He has his go-to moves, and he just goes to work.
Exactly. And he's got shooters around him, too, to help him out.
This Loyola team's good. I think that they could almost get a 6 seed. 6 or 7.
I think.
What are they ranked right now in the new AP poll? 18?
18, I believe.
I think they're 18th.
I think they're 18th. But here's the issue is that Loyola's done. Their season's done. They have no more games to prove who they are. All these other Power 5 teams have opportunities to say, here's who we are.
Sure, opportunities to win and opportunities to lose. So I think they kind of cancel out, to be honest. I don't know. I think this team's a 6-7 seed.
I think
they're like a Wofford of
7-8 probably.
2 years ago.
I would have done 7-8. I think a better Wofford, though, in my opinion.
I don't know. That Wofford team almost beat Kentucky in the second round, just saying.
That Wofford team was good, but this Loyola team is just giving me good vibrations right now.
Alex is deep in thought. I want to hear what he says.
I really love Loyola on their 12 line. What was that? 3 years ago?
That was an 11
line. 11 line. Final four run.
Yep. I just want to pick them again. Like, that's all I'm thinking about right now. It's just picking Loyola again.
Yeah, you're probably not alone in that one.
Yeah, you're not alone. I would totally get behind that because, A, they're fun to watch. They got some shooters around Krutwig, and they play great team basketball, and they've made it look pretty easy in the past couple weeks, which is what you want to see coming into March. So they are more than spooky, and they're on everybody's radar now. It's not like that 11 seed Sister Jean run.
Even that 11 seed was a pretty highly picked team.
Yes, true. But it was more under the radar. Now it's
yeah,
it's bright as day. It's clear. But moving on to some more Big 12 action here. We got Baylor defeating Texas Tech at home, 88-73. That wraps up that. This is the last day of Power 5 regular season play, I believe.
Just got to shout it out. Maceo Teague was 10 of 12 from 3 with 35 points.
That's the record for Baylor three-pointers in a game. Franchise or college record, whatever we want to say. Not a franchise record, but that's impressive.
Yeah, I didn't even think he was like shooting the ball that well leading up to this game. Like in the games I watched mm-hmm. against like Oak State, he wasn't shooting the ball that well. But
yeah, they shot 63% from 3, Baylor did, because Davion Mitchell was 3 of 3 and Jared Butler was 2 of 4 from 3.
I think they're the best three-point shooting team in the nation.
They are. They're 43%. They're 43-point-something% mm-hmm. three-point shooting team. The next closest in all of D1 is like 41, which that's a huge difference. That's a yeah. massive gap. And I'll pair that with their good defense and
then the Silver.
There you go. Top three team in the country yeah. right there. No other words around that. Moving on to some more Big Ten action here. Michigan State. Officially locked, loaded, set and forget, rest of the season, locked tournament team.
Yeah.
70-64 win over Michigan.
We said if they win one of those, they're locked.
They should have been locked before, but
they should have, yeah. I'm actually kind of starting to like this Michigan State team. You want to know why? Alex, your boy, Rocket Watts.
Finally.
Is he back?
It's about
time. No, I don't know if he's
19 points? Back. Come on now.
He was back for this game.
Come on, Mr. Watts, are you back?
Mr. Watts. We need to see some consistency, though, because if he's consistent, this team's
good. All I'm saying, if Rocket Watts is back.
Aaron Henry played phenomenal this game, too.
And Aaron Henry obviously doing his thing. Joey Hauser contributing. This is just going to be yet another year where Charlie picks Michigan State to go far in his bracket.
And hopefully they don't disappoint.
It is sort of a constant at this point.
Yeah, Rocket Watts was incredible this game, though.
He, like, when he's playing good, he's so fun to watch. He's so electrifying. Like, mm-hmm. when he's attacking the rim,
mm-hmm.
which he finally started to do, you just love to see it.
Exactly. And Michigan State, they got to stop looking for their three-point shot, I guess. They figured it out this game, and I think that's a huge reason why they won mm-hmm. this game, is because they were looking to go to the hole. And Joey Hauser, Rocket Watson, Aaron Henry were all extremely efficient in this game. And one of the reasons why they pulled off the win, I guess. But moving on, some more Big 12 play. Just have to mention Texas defeats TCU 76-64, ending their regular season. But the Big Ten game to mention now is Penn State defeating Maryland. Maryland was at home in this game, 66-61. That's two straight losses to two bad teams. Maryland loses to Northwestern and Penn State back-to-back.
Yeah, Mark Turgeon, you know what? Your goal, like, it's been complete. You've already made me look like a fool. You made me look like an idiot. Now can you just go back to winning? Because I actually kind of like this Maryland team when they play as a team. But the past two games, they have not. And if their goal is to play themselves out of,
mm-hmm.
like, the safety of the bubble and, like, back onto the outside, yep. well, then they've succeeded. Because I saw them on the 10 line today yep. when I was looking at it.
Uh-huh.
So, Maryland, get your shit together.
We want to see you in the tournament, though.
Yeah.
They would be a cool team to watch in the tournament, I guess. But that wraps up the games from Sunday. Alex,
sorry, I'm
going to
stop you again. I'm going to mention this Oregon team.
I was going to think about it.
They are starting to find their stride. They're finally healthy. They're now first in Pac-12 standings. And this Oregon team, I'm starting to like them.
Okay.
Chris Duarte starting to get healthy. They have Cliff's brother, Eugene. Mm-hmm. And then
Will
LJ Richardson Figueroa.
And
yep.
Will Richardson.
Yep. This Oregon team is
starting
to grow on me a bunch.
Not
what happened in Nafali Dante, the really highly touted 5-star recruit? Is he on that team still or no?
I think he's a
beats me.
Okay,
no idea. Honest.
Fair enough.
I'm not a huge Pac-12 connoisseur, as hope probably many are with this down Pac-12 year, kind of boring.
yeah,
week
that's
Pac-12
fair.
Year, but.
But yeah, obviously they're missing him, but they've won, like, I think 9 out of their last 10 games or 8 out of
it's
their last 9.
So.
And obviously, their coach, he knows how to get it done.
Yeah.
So.
They just kind of win games in March, so.
Yeah.
This is kind of how it works. But watch out for Oregon in the Pac-12 tournament. But that wraps up the games officially from Sunday. Now, moving into Monday, not too many games today. Obviously, some mid-majors team, major semifinals, quarterfinals are kind of going on right now. But the two games that we have to mention, because two tickets were punched today, out of the Sun Belt Conference, Appalachian State punches their ticket, defeating Georgia State.
A noted football school.
Noted football school, App State. Not really a basketball school, but I think it wasn't. No, Georgia. That was not. Was that Georgia State that had Hunter? What is it?
Yeah,
yeah,
that was
Hunter.
Georgia State.
Georgia State, yeah. So that's who they beat today.
Okay.
So App State punches their ticket. Don't really know much about App State basketball.
Can't say I do either. Might have to go watch some film after this.
I agree. I think I'm going to have to do that too. But the favorite out of the SoCon, UNC Greensboro, probably the best team in the SoCon, although it's a down year for the SoCon still. Yeah. UNC Greensboro punches their ticket today as well with a 69-61 win over Mercer.
You know, normally the SoCon gets a pretty good seed. I mean, the year before, Wofford got a 7 seed out of the SoCon.
And ETSU was going to do very well
last year was probably getting on the 11 line, something like that. But it's not the same this year. What do we think that they get in? Maybe like a 14 seed?
Yeah.
Probably.
Sounds about right.
That sounds right. I think UNCG is probably an 8-9 loss team, although the SoCon gets more respect, obviously, than other conferences. So they'll probably be on the 14 line, I agree. But that's the only other games that were worth mentioning. Obviously, the West Coast Conference of today, Gonzaga won by 30 or 23.
Hashtag so Zags by 30.
That's just what happened.
Also, Hofstra lost.
Hofstra did lose in the semifinal to Elon.
It's a tough scene.
You hate to see it by 16 points.
Losing
by
to Musk. Points.
They didn't lose to Elon Musk. Maybe Tesla will be sponsoring the next game. You never know. We'll see. But just, I guess, for this week, there's really no like games to look forward to, obviously, because it's all conference tournaments, and it's all dependent on the previous games. So
yeah, so we can't really give lines.
No,
We apologize to all you degenerate gamblers out there. We feel your pain. But yeah, keep your eyes on the lines, because there are some great conference tournaments to happen this week.
And I think the ACC starts tomorrow,
ACC starts tomorrow, and just more and more tickets are going to be punched.
Exactly.
Definitely something to watch.
Definitely going to be a fun week of college basketball coming up.
Oh, yeah. Fun.
I'm ready
three
to.
3 or 4 weeks coming up here.
Ready this is when the fun down on the couch and just flip through those channels.
Just be as lazy as you want.
Yeah.
It's all warranted.
Yeah. If you guys don't have anything to add,
that wraps it up, I think.
Until next time, this is Made in March.